When I got this, where do I have it now? This thing in my hands this morning, I was surprised. I hope you don't get misled by what you see here, because I'm not giving a budget speech here or anything like that. And if I could, I even wouldn't like to mention the word money at all. Generosity, which is our topic for today, is something totally independent of money. And I hope you get a sense for it by what I can tell you, by what I can say. I want to start with a passage from the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, the first four verses. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly, I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." Jesus was sitting close to an offering box. I've seen this type of box over in the old world quite a bit. There are churches, there are hundreds and not to say 1,000 years old, and they are open for the public all week round, every day, because they are like tourist attractions, and people want to see all the art and architecture that's shown in these beautiful old churches. And they have, close to the exit, one of these boxes. Some are wooden, some are metal, some are very straight and simple, some are very arty, made, whatever. It's interesting to see how people pass by there. Some people find it the most natural thing. Okay, we came here, we took a look, so they put in a euro or two when they leave. But you see some, they try to sneak around because we don't want anybody to see that we don't put anything in there. And some other people, they leave like this box wouldn't exist. They haven't ever seen it. And one of these boxes, this was where Jesus was sitting. And he watched people, what they put in and how they behaved. Now, it's interesting. It says here, Jesus saw people it says he saw the rich putting in their gifts to the temple treasury. How could Jesus see that they were rich, that they put in lots of money? I don't know. Maybe some had that behavior, pulling out their money. "Can you all see how generous I am?" Maybe. I don't know. But there was this one widow, this old woman, and all she could put in was two copper pennies. Now, very interesting to me, after the first service, Ken Kiefer came to me and said, "Wilfred, I have one of these original copper pennies. I bought it many years ago for a lot of money to be something I can look at and I can use in children's or youth ministry to show them." So if anyone is interested taking a closer look to it, to me it's just a piece of flat copper, not even really round, but very interesting. Now we have to do a little bit of math to understand what a copper penny is worth. See, when I had put into the offering basket, if I had put in two pennies today, everybody would say, "Oh, this is nothing, absolutely nothing." just emptying out my pocket. Even two quarters would probably be with the same effect. That wasn't the case at Jesus' time. At the time of Jesus, a hard-working farmhand would make a silver dime a day. Now, when you calculate that back to hourly wages, we would say they probably made about a copper penny per hour. So that what this woman gave was 2 hours worth of work. Now, let's take 2 hours worth of work today. Then I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. But let's just calculate with Canadian minimum wages, $14 the hour. So we come up with $28. So what that woman put in to this box was the worth of $28. Now, everybody of you will know, if you handle your money wisely, if you don't buy the wrong stuff, with $28, a single person can live a couple of days. You can feed from it. You just aren't supposed to buy a bottle of champagne, then it won't last. But if you buy the right things, $28 lasts quite a bit. So what this woman did is, she put everything she had for the next days or even week, she put that in. And she said, God, I trust you that you will take care of me. That is something we would call generosity in biblical understanding. Now, I've had a trouble for many, many years when I was younger. It always happened to me. At the same time, I was very busy. I didn't have any extra time to spend for nothing. And exactly at those times, our vacuum cleaner broke. Our washing machine didn't want to turn anymore. My car didn't want to start. And I had to pay property taxes. And I started worrying. How can I, you know? I was angry. I was afraid. And I had to learn something in my life. Everything, something like that happened, God gave me the ability to solve the problem somehow. It never killed me. It never threw me back, really. I always found a way to manage these things. So when this happens today, and I told this to the men yesterday at our men's breakfast, when this happens today, I can sit back, I can relax, and I can say, Lord, I trust you. No matter what it is, I can trust you. It may look odd and ugly and whatnot, but I can trust you and we'll find a solution for it. That's what this woman did. She said, Lord, it's all yours anyway. Take it, and I trust you that you will solve my problems. There are two things that I found out when I studied this scripture. Number one is, I asked myself, when was it the last time that I decided to give the equivalent of 2 hours work when the basket for the community care offering passed me? And I had to say never. I never did it. And it was my decision to start that today. And I did it, I can tell you. I started it. I want to learn from what the Bible tells me. And I said, yes, I can trust God and I can do more than what I did in the past. And the second thing that I learned from this is generosity isn't a question of the amount of money we give. For some people, $1,000 may not be generous, and for others, it's a huge amount. This depends on our circumstances, but God doesn't ask for any amount. What He is asking, what He's searching in our lives, that is, that we can let go, that we have the ability to say, God, I trust You. Generosity is a question of my heart. Those whom I love, I can give. If I love somebody and he is in need, I can give, and I can give up to the point where I say, oh, this really hurts. But still, I want to do it. Imagine your children. I remember the time when my kids came home and said, oh, Dad, we want to have a bicycle. Okay. I had to do something. And I wanted to do the best thing that my kids would have good bicycles. That's a natural thing. We love them and we do for them. And I know you probably all do the same for your children, for your siblings, for whoever it is that you love. You don't really ask, oh, is it $100 or can it be 10 less? You don't ask that way. Where we love, we can be generous. And it's very interesting to me because independent of my preparation for this sermon, something came to my mind that happened many, many years ago. My mother, she only had one sibling. It was a sister, her older sister. And my aunt's family and our family, we were knit together. There wasn't a single weekend I can remember that I hadn't spent together with my cousins and my aunt, my uncle, and even with my uncle's mother, grandmother of my cousins, who isn't really related to me. But we all stuck together, and it was a wonderful time I remember in my childhood. It was beautiful. All of a sudden, with the age of 53, my aunt was diagnosed with cancer, something is not so well known until that time, the form of cancer. And the doctor said right away, our diagnosis came too late. You don't have much to live anymore, no matter what treatment we try. They tried a lot, but my aunt knew with 53 years, I have a couple of weeks or months, and that's it. And the family heard this. I remember her mother-in-law telling to me, Wilfred, it's my daily prayer that God would heal Aunt Ursula, and I would give my life for it. I would give my life that she can live. And this wasn't something she just said in an easy way. She really meant it. And I can imagine there are some among you who would say the same of someone you really love who is in that same bad position, that sad position, that life isn't worth anything anymore, that you want to give your life that that person can live. Generosity is a question of your heart. It's a question of your love. You are generous up to giving up your own life when you love. The question is, can we let go? Now that brings me to an old joke I've told a couple of times. Maybe you haven't heard it yet, about the invention of copper wire. The electric copper wire was invented when two Scots found the same penny on the tarmac. Don't let go. You know, can we let go? And I'm sorry if anyone has Scottish background. Oh, forgive me. It's a joke. But can we let go? That's a big question in our lives. And that brings me to the second passage in the Bible that I want to read with you. That's in Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 to 8. There it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. God, and Jesus is God, wanted to show his love to us. How could he show his love to us? See, I remember the times when my kids were little. They wanted to show their love to us. So those who never could sit still, who had to run away and run around all the time and who couldn't do anything, all of a sudden they could sit still, take a piece of paper and draw a nice drawing. And sometimes we even didn't really understand what it was showing, but they came and they brought it to us and they explained, Mom, this is you. Dad, this is you. That's me. That's my brother. That's my sister. You know, and all of a sudden you saw this wonderful piece of art and it warmed your heart. And it was worse to us really more than having Da Vinci's Mona Lisa at our home or Van Gogh's famous sunflowers. You know, it's worth something because we knew the kids took the time and they expressed everything they were able to show us their love. When we want to show love to other people, we can use time. Time is a very precious thing for us very often. So if you spend time for someone, that may show your love. We can spend money, of course, that can show our love, doesn't do always, but it can. So what could Jesus do to show us his real love? Could he spend some time with us? Oh, he could, but you know, God lives beyond any measure of time. Time is nothing for him. So he said, spending time with humans isn't really showing my love. He could have given us all the wealth we can imagine. He could give us a huge mountain of diamonds worth billions, we have no name for him, in dollars. But you know what? For the creator of the universe, who created all this with one word, it would have been a flip with his fingernail, and it would be there. So it wouldn't really show his love. So that's why Jesus decided, I really want to show them my love, and the only thing I can do to demonstrate this is I can give up to be equal to God. I become a human being. And that's what we all celebrate once a year at Christmas, that Jesus became a man. He became human. That's an imaginable thing that God gave up, Jesus gave up his equality to God, and he became a man equal to the creation. And then he even made a second step and said, I'll give up my life for them. God himself, he is the life. He is the source of life. He is what life really means. And he says, I give it up. I just want to prove my real love for these pure human beings, and I'll do it. That's what Jesus did. And that's what Paul is referring to here. Jesus didn't hold on, and he didn't think it's worth holding on to be God. He said, I give it up, I make it a gift for them, I become a human being. Jesus, God, is so generous to us because he loves us. He loves us really, and he has proven it. Jesus told to his disciples before he left this earth, he said to his disciples, there will be one sign that people will see that you are my followers, and that is that you have love for each other. Is that something that people who are here for the first time today, I don't know if there are any, is that something that they sense, that we have love to each other? That we would help and give to each other whatever is necessary, and even more what's necessary, that we are generous to each other. I mean, we have these little fighting, some people here, like Gip and me, we love to fight a little bit, but this is pure love, you know, like between brothers, that happens, you know. So don't misunderstand things like this. And this might be existing between others as well. But do people see that we love each other? Sometimes it's easy. See, if any one of you would come and ask me, oh, Wilfred, I'm in desperate need of a car. Can you lend me your car for a day or two? You know, it wouldn't be very hard for me, because that old piece of rusty crap that I have in the parking lot, I could give to you for a day or two. But guess what? Next year I plan to buy a brand new one. What if you ask me next year when I have that? And I know some of you have these little beautiful treasures, pickup trucks with all the bells and whistles, and it may be hard for you to say, hey, I lend that to you. It's a question, do we love each other? What are we doing for each other? Is that material value way more worth to us than other things? When it comes to generosity, it's a question of our hearts. And let me come to the third and last scripture that I want to study with you today. In Ezekiel 36, the prophet Ezekiel says there to Israel in chapter 36, verse 24 to 26. For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." See, that's it, what God wants. God doesn't want my money. He doesn't need it. He has more of that green stuff than I ever will have. God doesn't need it. He wants my heart. He wants my love. He wants that I love Him. And once I love Him and I love you, all the other questions aren't so important anymore. God doesn't need my money, but He wants my heart. My heart. And He wants yours. And He wants that we all together can love each other, and with that we can be a sign in this world. That's what He wants. Let's pray for that, that we are ready to give Him our hearts. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You came and became a human being, and You showed Your endless love to me and to everyone here this morning. I thank You that You did it, and I thank You that You promised to give us new hearts. And that's what I ask here this morning. Lord, give us these new hearts, these loving hearts, that everyone can see. We love each other, we help each other, and we are generous, even up to give up our own lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.